All right, so are you ready to dive into the world of 5G?
Always ready to talk 5G, and you've given us some dense material to work with today. Releases 16 through 18 of the 3GPP telecommunication standards.
Definitely a lot to unpack. I think it's fascinating, though, how these documents lay out the rules for how 5G actually works. It's like peeking under the hood of this technology that's transforming how we connect with the world.
It's like the difference between driving a car and understanding how the engine works. We're going beyond just using 5G to explore the core mechanisms.
Exactly. And today we'll be focusing on a few key aspects, like how do our devices actually get on and off the network? How does data flow through this 5G superhighway? And perhaps most intriguingly, how does the network manage to keep everything running smoothly behind the scenes?
We'll be jumping between four main documents to uncover those answers. The first one, and this is a bit of a mouthful, TIS 12451V1607700P.PDF, focuses on 5G mobility management, or 5GMM for short.
5GMM. I'm already intrigued, but in simpler terms, what does that even mean?
Basically, it's all about the handshake between your phone and the network. Think registration, authentication, all the steps needed to get you connected.
So it's like a digital passport control, making sure everything checks out before granting access.
A perfect analogy. Now, imagine you show up at passport control, but your document is missing a page or has some unexpected scribbles.
Oh, that's never good. What happens then?
That's what happens with what are called conditional IE errors in the 5G world. These IEs, or information elements, are like those data packets carrying vital instructions. If they're incomplete or jumbled, it can throw things off.
So those IEs are like the essential stamps and visas in our passport analogy.
Exactly.
So if there's an error, does your phone just get the digital equivalent of denied?
Not quite. The document actually details how the system recovers from these errors. It's designed to be quite resilient.
Phew, that's a relief. So it's not all abrupt disconnections and cryptic error messages.
Not at all. The network is designed to handle these hiccups gracefully, often without you even realizing. For example, let's say a crucial piece of information is missing in an IE. The device can simply signal the network to resend it.
Okay, so it's more of a, wait, one sec, something's missing here, than a total system meltdown.
Precisely. It's like a built-in safety net.
Huh.
And that brings us to another fascinating aspect covered in a different document, TIS 12950V1607600P.PDF. This one delves into session management, or SM.
Session management. So we've covered getting connected. Is this about what happens once we're in?
Precisely. SM is like the traffic controller for your data, making sure everything flows smoothly across the network.
Okay, that makes sense. So smooth data flow, no traffic jams in the 5G fast lane. What are some of the ways this session management document helps achieve that?
Well, one interesting detail is how it handles something called duplicate session IDs.
Duplicate IDs. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. How is that even possible?
You're right. It could be. Every data connection your phone makes gets a unique session ID. But sometimes, two different parts of the network accidentally assign the same ID.
Oh no, like when two people show up at a party wearing the same outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But instead of awkwardness, the 5G standards have a solution. The system can detect these duplicate IDs and automatically resolve the conflict.
Wow, so it's like the network is playing digital traffic cop, redirecting things to avoid a collision. Okay, I'm really starting to appreciate how much complexity goes on behind the scenes of a seemingly simple act like sending a text message. What else is the session management document revealing about how 5G keeps things running smoothly?
Well, one thing that caught my eye was this concept of always ungranted PDU sessions.
Always ungranted. That sounds promising, but I need a little more context. What are these PDU sessions?
Good point. PDU stands for Protocol Data Units. They're basically the pipelines that your data travels through.
Got it. So, data pipelines and always am granted, sounds like.
Imagine a world where even if your signal strength dips a little, your connection remains stable. No more buffering.
Wait, are you saying goodbye to the dreaded buffering symbol?
That's the idea. This always am granted feature aims to do just that. It's all about maintaining that uninterrupted connection, a real game changer for how we experience mobile internet.
Okay, now that's exciting. So we've talked about how devices connect with 5GMM and how data flows more reliably with session management. But there's another buzzword I keep hearing, network slicing.
Now, network slicing is where things get really interesting. Network slicing is like having dedicated lanes on the 5G superhighway for different types of data.
Okay, so instead of just having a fast lane and a slow lane, we have lanes optimized for specific applications.
Exactly. It's like having a dedicated lane for video calls. They always stay crystal clear, even if someone else is downloading a huge file in the next lane over.
That makes a lot of sense. So how does the network decide which lane or slice each piece of data should travel in?
That's where another important document comes in. TS129503 VLink 7-1200 PDF. This one outlines the Unified Data Management System, or UDM.
UDM, okay, another acronym.
I know, there are a lot. Think of the UDM as the network's brain or control center. It's responsible for managing those network slices and making sure data gets routed efficiently.
So the UDM is like the all-seeing traffic controller, directing traffic based on the destination and priority.
Precisely. It takes into account things like your subscription, your device's capabilities, even the type of data being sent. All that information goes into determining the best slice for optimal performance.
It's like having a personal air traffic controller for your data, making sure it takes the most efficient route. That's pretty impressive. But earlier, you mentioned something about blacklisting devices. That sounds a little more, shall we say, authoritarian.
Ah, yes, blacklisting. That's covered in the 5GMM document we talked about earlier.
Right, the one about how devices connect to the network. So, what would get a device blacklisted? Asking for a friend, of course.
Of course. Well, it's all about security. The network uses blacklisting to protect itself from devices that might pose a threat.
Okay, so we're talking about devices that are up to no good. But what makes a device bad in the eyes of the network?
Think unauthorized modifications, suspicious behavior, anything that could potentially compromise the network or other users. It's like the network's immune system, identifying and neutralizing threats before they can cause harm.
So, a necessary evil, perhaps.
You could say that. It's a trade-off between individual freedom and the overall health and security of the network.
Right, because a single compromised device could potentially disrupt service for everyone.
Exactly. And while the 5GMM document doesn't get into the appeals process, it's clear that blacklisting is a serious security measure.
Definitely gives you pause. So, blacklisting is about keeping the network safe from bad actors. What about protecting the privacy of us well-behaved users?
Another crucial aspect, and it's something we see addressed throughout these documents.
Give me an example. How does 5G strive to protect user privacy?
Well, one way is by using temporary identities. Instead of constantly broadcasting your device's permanent ID, which can be used to track your movements, the network assigns a temporary one.
So it's like giving my phone an alias when it's out and about in the digital world.
Exactly. This temporary ID, or TMSI, helps to mask your device's real identity, making it much harder to track.
That's pretty clever. But if everything's temporary, how does the network keep track of all these changing IDs? It seems like it would be easy to lose track of who's who.
That's where the network's intelligence comes in. There are sophisticated mechanisms that link those temporary IDs back to the correct permanent identity, all while ensuring everything remains secure.
So it's like a giant intricate puzzle, but instead of pieces, we're talking about data and
The network
identities.
is a master puzzle solver.
I'm definitely getting that impression. Now, earlier we were discussing the UDM, the network's control center. You mentioned that it plays a role in network monitoring, but in a way that respects user privacy. How does that work? Because network monitoring and user privacy don't exactly sound like they go hand in hand.
It's a delicate balance. The UDM document is very clear that this monitoring isn't about snooping on your personal data.
Okay, that's reassuring. So, what kind of information is the network monitoring then?
Think of it as gathering aggregate data about network performance, like identifying potential bottlenecks or areas where coverage needs improvement. It's about making the network better for everyone.
So, less about tracking individuals and more about understanding the bigger picture of how the network is being used.
Exactly. And the UDM document highlights the use of techniques like data anonymization to further protect user privacy.
Data anonymization, meaning they strip out any personally identifiable information.
Exactly. So while the network is collecting valuable data for optimization, your individual identity is safeguarded.
That makes me feel a lot better. Now, we've talked about how devices connect, how data flows, how the network manages all of this complexity. But what about communication between the network and our devices? Earlier, we briefly touched on something called the NAM communication service. What's that all about?
Think of the NAM communication service as a dedicated hotline between your device and the network. It's how they exchange important messages.
Okay, so it's not just about sending data back and forth, but also about keeping devices informed about what's happening on the network.
Exactly. It's like a direct line to mission control. And one really interesting feature outlined in the TS-12951-8V-177-500PT PDF document is this concept of event subscriptions.
Event subscriptions? Sounds intriguing. What kind of events are we talking about here? Give me an example.
Let's say you're waiting for a call from someone, okay, but their phone is currently off. With event subscriptions, your device could be set up to notify you the moment their phone comes back online.
Oh, wow. So no more endlessly checking to see if they're reachable. That's incredibly useful.
Right. It opens up a lot of possibilities for real-time communication, location-based services, and a more connected experience overall.
I'm starting to see the potential. Now, this same document also mentions something called redirect responses. Does that tie into these event subscriptions at all?
Not quite. Redirect responses are all about keeping your data flowing smoothly, even when there are hiccups in the network.
Okay, tell me more. How does that work?
Think of it like this. You're sending a package across the country. Now imagine if there's a road closure or a traffic jam on the usual route. With redirect responses, the delivery company can instantly reroute your package to avoid the delay.
So it's like having a super efficient air traffic control system for data, making sure everything gets where it needs to go, even with unexpected turbulence.
Exactly. And this ability to adapt on the fly is what allows 5G to deliver on its promise of a seamless, reliable experience.
It's amazing how much is happening behind the scenes that we never even realize. We've covered a lot of ground, but there's one more detail I wanted to circle back to. It's something mentioned in the 5GMM document, implicitly deregistered. It sounds a bit ominous, like my phone is secretly getting kicked off the network.
I could see why you might think that. But it's not as dramatic as it sounds. Implicitly deregistered simply means the network has temporarily disconnected your device, usually for a good reason.
Okay, that's less concerning. But why would the network do that?
Well, one scenario is if your device has been inactive for a certain period. The network might assume you're no longer using it and temporarily disconnect it to free up resources for other users.
So it's like the network is doing some housekeeping, making sure resources are being used efficiently.
Exactly. Another possibility is that a part of the network needs to reboot or undergo maintenance. Your device might be temporarily disconnected during that process.
It's kind of like when your computer restarts and all your programs temporarily go offline.
A perfect analogy. And just like with a computer restart, once the network is back up and running, your device automatically reconnects.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's all about ensuring the overall stability and efficiency of the network.
Precisely. And it highlights a key theme that's woven throughout these 5G standards. It's not just about speed, it's about intelligence.
It's like we've been given a glimpse behind the curtain. And instead of finding a chaotic mess of wires and circuits, we're seeing a well-oiled machine designed to adapt, optimize, and prioritize the user experience.
Exactly. And speaking of optimization, let's shift gears back to those pesky errors we keep encountering in these documents. It's all about those IEs, again, those information elements that carry instructions between your phone and the network. Remember how we talked about some IEs having optional parts?
Right, like optional side quests in a video game. You can choose to do them, but they don't derail the main story.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Well, the 5GMM document spends some time explaining what happens when those optional parts get messed up.
Messed up how?
Think typos, missing information, that kind of thing. It's bound to happen sometimes.
So what happens? Does the whole system grind to a halt because of a minor error in an optional part?
Not at all. Both the device and the network are designed to be quite forgiving in that regard. Oh. They simply ignore those garbled optional parts and carry on.
Ignore and carry on. That's surprisingly chill for a system this complex.
It goes to show how robust 5G is designed to be. It's all about handling those inevitable imperfections without disrupting the entire communication process. Of course, there are situations where errors can't be ignored, like when it comes to those conditional IE errors we mentioned earlier.
Right. Those were the ones where essential information is missing or incorrect, like receiving a text message that looks like it's written in a secret code you can't decipher.
Exactly. And in these cases, the device knows something is wrong and needs to be fixed. So it sends a specific alert back to the network.
It's like sending up a flare gun, right?
A digital flare gun. It sends either a 5GMM status or 5GSM status message with a specific cause code indicating that there's a conditional IE error.
So it's basically saying, hold on, something's wrong with these instructions. I need a resend.
Precisely. And that immediate feedback allows the network to quickly identify and rectify the issue, minimizing any disruption to your connection.
It really is amazing how much thought goes into handling these error situations, and most of the time, we're none the wiser, which I guess is the goal.
A seamless experience, even when things go a bit haywire behind the scenes. And speaking of things happening behind the scenes, there's one last detail from the 5GMM document I wanted to get your take on. It mentioned something called implicitly deregistered. Does that sound a little bit creepy to you? Like, my phone is secretly getting kicked off the network?
It does sound a bit unsettling, like something out of a spy thriller.
Right. But rest assured, it's not as dramatic as it might seem. Implicitly deregistered simply means the network has temporarily disconnected your device, usually for a good reason.
Okay, that's less alarming. But why would it do that? What are the good reasons?
Well, for one, if your device has been inactive for a while, the network might assume you're not using it and temporarily disconnect it to free up resources.
So it's like the network is doing a bit of tidying up, making sure resources are being used efficiently.
Exactly. Another scenario is if a part of the network that manages connections needs to reboot or undergo maintenance, your device might be temporarily disconnected during that process.
Makes sense. It's like when your computer restarts and all your programs temporarily go offline, then they all boot back up again when it's done.
Exactly. And that's essentially what happens with your phone. It automatically reconnects once the network event is completed. The key takeaway is that it's designed to happen seamlessly in the background.
And in most cases, we probably wouldn't even realize it happened. We've learned so much today about the inner workings of 5G, from the initial handshake between a device and the network to the intricate dance of data flow and error handling. I have to admit, going into this, I thought 5G was all about speed, but it's so much more than that.
Exactly. It really highlights how technology is evolving beyond just raw power to become more intelligent, adaptable, and responsive to our needs.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on. It's been a fascinating journey through these technical documents. We've deciphered complex processes, uncovered hidden mechanisms, and gained a new appreciation for the invisible world of 5G. What an adventure.
It really is amazing how much innovation is happening behind the scenes, often without us even realizing it. But by diving into these standards, we've pulled back the curtain and gained a deeper understanding of the technology that's shaping our digital lives.
To all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of 5G. Keep those questions coming, and we'll see you next time for another exploration into the technologies that are shaping our future.